Seth, we appreciate you too. We're glad that you're back. And there have been a number of prayers answered. It's good to see you and good to be with you. It's good to see everyone who's here this morning, to have an opportunity to come together to study God's Word, and I hope our time spent in God's Word will encourage us. We just sang, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." I can't imagine a life without Christ. I guess you could say, born into a family of Christians, and I was around that my entire life. Not everybody has that. Some have to play catch-up, and they get Christ later in their life. But to have that my entire life, I look back over that, and I don't understand why somebody would not want that in their life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 34, probably one of the saddest statements that I can think of in the Gospels. Matthew 8 verse 34. After Jesus had cast out the Gadarene, the demon from the man in Gadara or Gerasa, he was happy. The text says, the parallel accounts say that he was sitting clothed and in his right mind, and he wanted to be with Jesus. But Matthew 8:34, "And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart from their borders." I don't think I can think of a sadder statement than that people would not want Jesus in their life. I just don't understand that. I understand that what their reasoning might be, but it's not justified. I understand that when they saw the swine rush over the hill into the water, that they were thinking maybe about their livelihood being gone. And there's other things that are suggested, but to not want Jesus around, what a sad thing that is. This morning I want to talk about you and Jesus Christ. And I include myself. The relationship that we have in Jesus Christ, we are in a particular state or a condition or relationship this morning. And I want you to answer the question, which state or relationship are you in? Everything in life revolves around a man named Jesus Christ. Everything. Once Jesus came into this world, once he was born into this world and lived and died on the cross and was resurrected and ascended back into heaven, once that event took place, everything changed. You cannot go through life without some connection with Jesus Christ. Now you stop and think about how paramount that is. I can't think of anybody else in history that has affected our lives like Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you go through life knowing Him or not, you have a relationship with Him. Whether you've ever opened up your Bible or not, you will have a connection with Jesus Christ, whether you obey Him or not. I can't think of anybody else in life that's like that, can you? You know, there's a lot of people in life where you can go through life, it doesn't matter whether you know them or not. It doesn't matter whether you've heard of them or not, whether you read anything they've written, it doesn't matter. But you can't do that with Jesus Christ. And I can't imagine this thought of a group of people coming to Jesus, begging Him that He would depart from their borders. And yet, isn't that what we have in many cases today? The thanks but no thanks Jesus approach. And so this morning, I want us to be reminded that all of us are in some state or relationship or condition with Jesus. And I want us all to be in that right relationship. Everything, not only in life is about Jesus, but everything in the Bible is about Jesus. Starting in Genesis chapter 3, everything in the Bible is about He is coming. In the Old Testament, He is coming. In the Gospels, He is here. And in Acts, through the book of Revelation, He is coming again. Everything in the Bible is about Jesus Christ. Everything in life is about Jesus Christ. All of us here this morning are in some state with regard to Jesus. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 in the scripture reading that we had earlier. Let's begin by looking at the first state that someone can be in with regard to Jesus. And to be honest with you, it's a sad state. There are those we are told of in the Word of God that are separate from Christ. And that may be you this morning. Separate from Christ. This is the state of spiritual death. You may know of someone like this. You may be here this morning like this, where there is a sin in your life that has not been washed away in baptism. That may be you this morning, or you may know of someone like this. Separate from Christ. Have you ever been separated from a loved one? I think the wards can appreciate this morning. Have you ever been separated from someone that you really loved or that you really cared about or someone that could really help you in some way? Have you ever been separated from them? The feeling of separation is a negative thing. It's not a positive thing. There may be a feeling of loneliness or helplessness, or there may be an empty feeling inside. Paul says, he describes those who are in sin and their sins have not been washed away in Christ. He describes them in verse 12 as separated from Christ. That's one state that people find themselves in, and you might be in that state this morning. Well, what does that mean? Well, what it means is, come back with me to chapter 2 and verse 1. What it means is that you are dead, spiritually dead, separated from Christ through your trespasses and sins. There's sin in your life. You've got a sin in your life. And that has not been washed away properly in baptism. You have not been baptized properly or at all. And that sin is separating you from God and Christ because God cannot have fellowship with sin. There is sin that is standing in the way. What it means is that you are spiritually dead. It means that you're walking like the world. You may be a good person in many ways. But verse 2, wherein you once walked according to the course of this world or age. You're doing some things of the age around you. You might be talking like them or dressing like them or thinking like them. But there's sin in your life. And Paul says that you are separated from Christ. Now that's not a state that we want to be in. We don't want to be in that state of spiritual death. And it gets worse. Not only are we walking and living like the world, but we are just simply doing what the devil wants us to do. He's our master. Verse 2, according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil, of the spirit or attitude that now works in the sons of disobedience. Doing what the devil wants, and he is affected with this attitude or philosophy or spirit. People in the world, they're doing what the devil wants, and you're just like them. Paul says in Colossians 1:14 that when we become a Christian, we're translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We're in a kingdom of darkness. Now somebody says, well, wait a minute, the light's on. I don't feel like I'm groping around in the dark. Darkness in the New Testament meaning living in sin. And there are people who are separated from Christ. And there is sin in their life. They're living like the world. They're serving the devil. And they're disobedient. Paul describes you or this person as a son of disobedience. We're not obeying God. Among whom, verse 3, we also, and Paul includes himself before becoming a Christian, we also once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind. I'm just doing what I feel and I think. What do I feel and I think at the moment? I'm not living for Christ. I don't want to obey the gospel. I don't want to be baptized into Christ. I'm just living the way I want, how I feel and how I like to live. And it's a good feeling. But it's sin. And so Paul goes down through the matter of someone who is separated from Christ. And then in verse 3 he says, by nature, not by birth, but by practice, you are children of wrath even as the rest. And if it's not bad enough, God's wrath rests on me. Now this is a sobering thought. Chris, I was going to have a good day. You went and ruined it. I was going to go have lunch. And I was going to go home and do some things and feel good. And you went and ruined it by talking about God's wrath. Well, I'm sorry, but that's what the scripture says. And it's a state that many people are in. If you have a family member that is in this state, or a friend, or a neighbor, let's go home thinking about maybe what Jude said, snatching them out of the fire. This is not a state that anybody wants to be in. And let us do what we can to encourage people to get out of this state. This state is not what you want to be in. Come down with me now to verse 11, because in verses 4 through 10, Paul moves with the little word but in verse 4, but he moves to a positive thing, how that you can be saved from this terrible state by God's grace and your obedient faith. And then he comes back in verse 11 to this terrible state again. So come back with me to verse 11. Wherefore, remember that once you, this is the members of the church at Ephesus, before they became Christians, before they were baptized into the name of Jesus, Acts 19, 1 through 7, people in Ephesus being baptized into the name of Jesus, before that happened, what were they? Well, they were Gentiles in the flesh who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, or Jews in the flesh made by hands. Look at this. That you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, the spiritual blessings that can come to God's children, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You underscore that in your Bible. When we're in that state, we are without hope. Now, who wants to get up every day without hope? What kind of a life of despair is that? Now, somebody says, wait a minute. I go to school, and I feel pretty good about that. I'm making good grades. I go to school. Nope. You don't have a hope of heaven. Now go home and think about that. You don't have a hope of heaven. You've not been baptized into Christ properly. You do not have a hope of heaven. You can be a good person. Things can be going great in life, at school and work and at home. And I've always got a nice bedroom to go home to, and my parents provide great things and other things. Nope, no hope of heaven. You do not want to get up each day like that. You could die. Jesus could come again. And you are without the hope of heaven. We do not want to be in that state. Verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, and we'll get to that in a minute, you that were once afar off are made near in the blood of Christ. So we don't have to stay in this relationship. But the first state is the state of spiritual death separated from Christ. When you're serving sin, you're in the power and the kingdom of Satan. When you're alienated from God and Christ, they cannot have fellowship with you in your present state. And you are the object of God's wrath. Wow. When Jesus comes again, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 10, you'll be one of those persons that when Jesus comes with the angels of flaming fire, you will be one of the ones upon whom He renders vengeance. And that is going to be a terrible thing. If we're like this, we need to get out of this state immediately. And if we know of someone like this, we need to help them to get out of this state immediately. But turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. You may be here this morning in Christ. And this is where we want to be. This is the state of grace. This is the state of forgiveness and grace, where God, through His grace, and us, through our active obedient faith, we are now in a state of forgiveness of sins. We don't have the wrath of God on us anymore. We don't have sin separating us anymore. We're not walking and living like the world. We're not alienated. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul had been talking about his ministry of preaching the gospel of Christ. Let's actually back up a little bit. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that one, Jesus, died for all. Therefore all died. All were in sin, and Jesus had to die for all of those who were in sin. And He, Jesus, died for all, that they that live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto Him who for their sakes died and rose again. Wherefore, we henceforth know no man after the flesh. Even though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now we know Him no more. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. Paul will say in other places, like Romans 6 and verse 3, that one gets into Christ through baptism. Or Galatians 3, 26 and 27. We are in Christ, chapter 5, verse 17, when we are baptized into Christ. And we become a new creature, a new creation. Look at verse 17. The old things, like sin and that worldly way of life, the old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. Paul will say in Romans 10 and verse, chapter 8 and verse 10, that in this state, Christ is in us. He's leading us. We walk in Christ, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. This is a state of forgiveness, and it starts with baptism. And it has to be a proper baptism. It's not sprinkling or pouring. It has to be immersion. It has to be for the remission of sins. That's how I am put and placed into Christ. And this is the state that we want to be in. We let Christ rule and reign in us. We put Him on each and every day. Romans 13 and verse 14 is speaking to those who are already Christians. And each and every day we put on Christ, just like we get up and put on our clothes. We're going to talk like Him and act like Him. This is the state that we want to be in. Each and every day is controlled by the example of Christ and by the words of Christ. And not one time, 2 John 9, not one time are we going to go outside the doctrine of Christ. The New Testament teaching is our guide and rule each and every day. We don't stray to the right hand or to the left. We stay within that teaching of Christ, and that causes us to remain in Christ and in fellowship with Him. Friends, this is the place where we need to be. I just want to give you a few examples this morning. There are so many I couldn't even begin to talk about all of them. In your New Testament, the things that are said with regard to being in Christ, this is where you want to be. Redemption is in Christ. Romans 3:24. Eternal life. Romans 6:23. No condemnation. Wow, isn't that nice? Romans 8:1. The love of God. Romans 8:39. Unity. Romans 12:5. Sanctified, set apart, 1 Corinthians 1, 2. It's in Christ that we're given grace, 1 Corinthians 1, 4. We're wise in Christ, 1 Corinthians 4, 10. Rejoicing, 1 Corinthians 15, 31. That's where love is. 1 Corinthians 16, 23. That's where triumph and victory is over the devil, 2 Corinthians 2, 14. That's where liberty is, Galatians 2:4. All spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1:3. Forgiveness, Ephesians 1:7. Good works, Ephesians 2:10. Reconciliation, access, a solid foundation, a habitation, we're complete, proper conduct, and on and on. It's where we want to be. We want to be in Christ. It begins by putting Him on in baptism. It continues where we walk faithfully each and every day. But turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Unfortunately, there are those who have come into the state of, they've left that state of spiritual death. And thanks be to God, they have come into that state of grace. But unfortunately, the devil does not leave us alone after we become a Christian. There are some who find themselves in this third state, and if you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, we will look at what that is. And that is a state in which someone falls away from Christ. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, you are severed from Christ. This is the state of apostasy. And the tricky thing about apostasy is, we know from the book of Hebrews and other places that some people are in the process of falling away and they don't know it. That's the tricky thing about it. It's such a slow, gradual drifting away, Hebrews 2, 1 and following, that we really don't realize that that's what's going on. So this third state is the state in which the devil gets people to come back over onto his side, to leave that state of being in Christ, and now you are severed from Christ. The Bible doesn't teach once saved, always saved. The Bible doesn't teach once in grace, always in grace. And so once we're baptized into Christ, we have to live faithfully each and every day because someone can leave Christ and be severed from Christ. The word apostasy, the prefix means away from, and the rest of the word means a stationary fixed point. We are moving away from Christ, apostasy. Let's look at it. Chapter 5 and verse 1. You may know somebody like this. I have family members like this. Maybe you have family members like this. Maybe you knew of brethren who were once faithful and they're no longer faithful. This is very real. We may have friends in the church that have apostatized. We may have family members. We may have those whom we've known. Preacher so-and-so and elder so-and-so and sister so-and-so. It's a real state and we have to be mindful of it. Paul says in Galatians 5:1, for freedom, free from sin and other things. For freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Some brethren are not standing fast with their faithfulness, and so the devil pulls them back into the world. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing. The specific matter that Paul is dealing with here is that some Jews were binding circumcision as a plan of salvation. We don't have that specific issue today, but people can fall away for other reasons today. They were falling away in this context for a doctrinal reason. Jews were saying you have to accept this other doctrine of circumcision in order to be saved. But today it could be a number of reasons why people fall away, in addition to a teaching or a doctrine. It could be worldliness. It could be spiritual weakness. It could be bad priorities. Maybe you know of someone who is in this state. And like the state of death, I'm mindful of James chapter 5 at the very end. We need to try to convert a sinner, talking about a Christian sinner, from the error of his way. We need to try to get them to come back to the truth. This is not a state you want to be in, severed from Christ. Think about your arm being severed from your body. You no longer have the use of it. You no longer have that connection. To be severed from Christ is not the state that you want to be in. Verse 3, I testify again to every man that this is so serious, he repeats it twice. It is so serious, he repeats it twice. I say again, Paul says, that the one who receives circumcision, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You are fallen away from grace. It's a state of apostasy. Let's look at how it unfolds. Look at verse 5. We're very familiar with verse 4, but keep reading. For we through the Spirit, by faith, wait for the hope of righteousness. A Christian has to keep being guided by the Spirit, keep having a practicing faith, and waiting for the hope of righteousness. You cannot get your minds off of the hope of righteousness and on to the things of this world, or you'll fall away from Christ. Verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love. Here's the second thing. I've stopped working. I've stopped having my hope set on righteous things. I've stopped working through love. I'm just drifting. I'm coasting. Here comes the apostasy. And then look at verse 7. You were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion came not of him that called you. It didn't come from Christ. It didn't come from Paul or anybody else. It came from these individuals who were seeking to take Christians away. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Look at verse 9. Here's the second thing. Number one, we stop having our hope set on righteous things. Number two, we're not working through love and being active. And number three, we let someone come along like a little leaven, leavening the whole lump, and take us away from Christ. And we wake up one day and we were running well, but all of a sudden we've gotten hindered. And EJ knows about running. When you're out running, you want to finish the line. Cross the line, you want to win the race. You don't want to be hindered along the way and where you have to quit or drop out. And yet, that's what happens to Christians. Paul says, Christ profits you nothing. Christians end up returning to the bondage of sin. All of the benefits and the blessings that they had in Christ are now of no profit anymore. They're severed from Christ. They're fallen away from grace. In this specific example, it happened because of false teaching, leading them to want to be justified by the old law. But today it could be through a number of reasons, most of which is worldliness. Here is a Christian, verse 7, who was running well. They started off a good Christian life, but then they allowed something to come in that hindered them. Well, what is it today?
Oh, it's a lot of things. Work. Work's a big one. Well, I gotta work. I can't go to church. I gotta work. Okay.
And friends, and well, I got married, and I got kids, and I got work, and I got school, and I got hobbies, and this. And that. Well, where's brother and sister so-and-so? Well, I don't see them very much anymore. It could be like in the case here in Galatians, it could be who we're listening to. They were, verses 6, 7, 8, long in there, they were listening to people who were taking them away from truth. Well, I've been reading some stuff on my phone. And I've been hearing some stuff on the TV, and my friends say this, and this person says that. And I'm slowly being deceived, like a little leaven that just works in a small amount of weight, and then it takes over my thinking and my emotions and my ideas. And pretty soon, I'm not thinking right. And I fall away from Christ. And it's so gradual. It's like Hebrews 2:1. It's like a boat that has been untied from the dock and it just slowly drifts away. It doesn't happen overnight. It's just slow. And I look back over my life and, I'm not attending like I used to. I'm not reading my Bible like I used to. I don't come to Bible class like I used to. I don't invite others to the service like I used to. I don't attend gospel meetings or whatever. And I'm drifting away. We don't want to be in this state. And if you or someone you know is headed toward this state or already in this state, we want to do all that we can to bring them back. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. You do not want to go here. It's like you and I eating vomit. That's how bad that is. Eating vomit. That's the image that Peter uses. When a person, verse 21, knows the way of righteousness and after knowing it turns back from the holy commandment delivered unto them, it has happened like the true proverb, a dog returning to his own vomit, or the sow that has washed a wallowing in the mire. You might as well just go out there and get in the manure of a pig pen, as to go back into the world. Is it attractive? Yes. Is it an easier life out there in the world in many ways? Yes. You don't have to go to church and stuff like that. It's easier, it's convenient, it's fun, but you might as well wallow in the mire or eat vomit, Peter says. It's not a state. And I use the word state. Look at verse 20. The last state is become worse than the first. It's a state, a condition, a relationship we do not want to be in. And then finally, turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23. There are brethren who come, there are people who come out of this state of sin. They don't want to be separated from Christ. They're baptized into Christ and they live faithfully each and every day. They do the hard things in life. They do the hard things. They live faithfully even in the difficult times. And they are so faithful to Christ. You know of people like this. I believe there's people like this sitting here this morning. They are so faithful to Christ. Nothing is going to hinder them. Nothing is going to stay in their way. And they're going to go all the way to one last glorious state. And that is the state where we can be with Christ in heaven. We can be with Christ. What a glorious state this will be. It will make all of the difficult times worth it. It will make all of the hard times worth it. One of my favorite songs, and if one of you guys wants to lead this tonight, that would be awesome. Face to Face with Christ my Savior. One of my favorite songs.
that I can finally be with my Lord in that glorious state of heaven. I came out of that sin with baptism. I lived that faithful life in Christ. I didn't let anybody hinder me along the way and pull me away to fall away. If there was an occasional lapse or this or that, I corrected it and got back in the ball game, so to speak. I did not let somebody hinder me from running, and I ran all the way to the end, and now I can be with Christ.
What a glorious and hopeful thing that is. Paul writes this in Philippians chapter 1. He's in a prison. He doesn't know what his future is. He's praying that he can come back and help the Philippian brethren. He's not sure. And he has these desires in his mind. Verse 20. So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. That's the faithful Christian life. We magnify Christ in everything we do. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if to live in the flesh, if this shall bring some fruit from my work, then what I shall choose, I know not. But I am in a strait, not a straight line, but a closed, confined space, like the Strait of Gibraltar, a close, confined strait between two options, Paul says. Having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for it is very far better, yet to abide in the flesh is more needful for your sake.
Paul says, if I can depart and die and be with Christ. Paul words it a different way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, about verses 6, 7, and 8. He says, I will depart and be with the Lord.
Face to face with Christ my Savior. That's what I want. Isn't that what you want? This desire. Underscore that in your Bible in verse 23. A desire to depart and be with Christ.
If you get up every day with that desire, desire controls action. Desire is what is at the beginning of choices and actions. And when that desire to depart and be with Christ is at the beginning of every day, that's where we're going to end up.
Not a desire of the world. Not a desire of other things. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So what's going to happen is, because we want to be with Christ, we're going to live faithfully each and every day. And when we die, we are going to, as Paul writes, fall asleep in Jesus. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. We're going to live faithfully each and every day. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And we don't know when that day of death is going to come. It could come in old age, the normal kind of thing, or it could come at any time. But we're going to fall asleep in Jesus. And then, when He brings those, and the living join them, verse 17, we're going to be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Underscore this in your Bible. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what we want. And Paul says that we can be partakers of His glory. There's going to be a glorious heavenly body that we're going to have that's far different than the one we have. Just to be face to face with Jesus, we will see Him and be like Him, 1 John 3, 1 and following. Heaven itself is glorious. The grandeur and glory of heaven. God on His throne. I spoke of that in the radio program this morning. It's just spectacular, and that's where we want to be. And it's going to be the everlasting kingdom. And it's going to be where we can reign with Christ. In Revelation chapter 20, John talks about those who had been beheaded for the cause of Christ. They're dead physically, but
But John sees them reigning with Christ. Even if being a Christian meant dying for Christ, we live on and we reign with Him in heaven. How can we just say to Jesus, Matthew chapter 8, we bid you that you leave here. How can you do that when everything revolves around our relationship with Jesus Christ? You may know of someone this morning in one of these four states. You may be here this morning in one of these four states. But let's make the change if necessary. And if we're separate from Christ, I beg you this morning to come and put Him on in baptism. Please do not leave with the wrath of God resting on you. Please do not do that. And if you're here this morning in Christ, I beg of you to stay there and live faithfully each and every day, because that's where all of the blessings are. And if you're here this morning in a state of apostasy, or you believe you're headed toward that, or you know of someone in that situation, I beg you to come back. Why in the world would you let someone, you're trying to run your Christian race, why in the world would you let somebody hinder you and you don't get to cross the finish line? Help them to come back and get back on the race course. And if you need to come back and get back on the race course, I beg you to do that, because you're traveling a different race course. When we're in the state of apostasy, oh, we're still running, but now it's called the broad way that leads to destruction. Oh, it's a way, all right. It's not, you don't want to end up at the finish line of that one. If we find ourselves, brethren, slipping, if we find ourselves slipping, we know that something is not quite right. That we're slowly drifting. We're just not the spiritual person that we need to be. I beg you to come back. And then last of all, let us live in such a way like Paul, that every day we have that desire to depart and be with Christ and share in His glorious state. To be with God around that throne and have the Lamb of God at His right hand, and the Holy Spirit is there and righteous angels are there and all the righteous of all time who have ever lived are there, and to see Jesus face to face. What a beautiful thing that will be. Let's live so that we can be in that state. So as I close this morning, I just simply ask this question. Where are you with Jesus Christ? What state are you in today? What state will you be in when you die? What state will you be in when Jesus comes again? We've been told our relationship with Christ. Let's make those decisions this morning that put us in Christ. And then when we die, we're going to be with Christ. If we can help you to make those decisions and actions this morning, why wouldn't you come as we stand and as we sing?